Have you had Revelation class yet? No? Revelation 5, 8 and Revelation 8, 3 tells us that God has this bowl in front of his throne, and every time we pray, he collects our prayers right in front of his throne. So Cody got the privilege of sending something that God loves and collects. That's what prayer is. Very exciting. That's why we should pray all the time. God loves it. Okay, real quick before I start, if you would like to meet with one of us four, if you would like to talk, if you'd like advice, if you'd like counseling, if there's something that you would like to understand from Bonnie, my wife Bonnie has raised 8 children. She's been married to a very hard person to marry and live with. She's been a pastor's wife. She has taught children. She has taught women's retreats. She's done everything you can think of in the church for 35 years. She even writes books. She has a book coming out soon. Yes, honey, don't be so humble. On what a Titus II woman is like. You know, God's plan. But that's Bonnie. Leslie has raised a wonderful family, has been married to one of the leading elders in the church. In fact, her husband was my boss for years. He was the lead elder of the church where I pastored. But Jim and Leslie are godly Christian servants of the Lord in the local church. Great wisdom. Leslie's working on her MA and MABC, Master of Arts Biblical Counseling. Bonnie has graduated from the I don't know how many years of the Nuthetic Counseling, Biblical Counseling too. And Jim is an elder and wonderful. But what they're going to do is they're going to put up on the bulletin board their email addresses, and what you do is send them a note and say, I would love to meet with you. Now, one thing you don't need to email, I would love to eat lunch with one of you or two of you or four of you, however many you can sit by in there. Every day I wish I could have a different group of you. I wish that Zephaniah would save me a seat and say, you're sitting with me. And that's what I would like. I would like to, Raul, save me a seat sometime. And you guys, I don't mind if you girls steal my wife away and eat with her, because boys talk about different things than girls. You know, and so sometimes it's hard, you know, that I want to talk to you and Bonnie wants to talk to the young ladies. And so we're each available at any meal. But if you want to meet alone, Bonnie and Leslie are setting up appointments. And the Stubbs have the porch, whatever it's called up there, and we have Jordan down there. And every year, Bonnie meets with every single one of you young ladies, and she'd love to do that, and I'm sure Leslie would too. So think about that, and they will put up their emails out there on the board. Okay, now, on your papers, the very first line to fill in has come, so get busy. Here we go. What are the divine implications of divine inspiration? What does that line even mean? This is what it means. God himself wrote every word of the Bible. Now, he used people. But inspiration, see, we're talking about this word right here. Inspiration means God is the author. Paul was a tool. Solomon was a tool. You know what I mean? John was a tool. But God himself wrote, and he guided 40 men over a period of 1,500 years. From the time of Moses to the time of the Apostle John. So when I talk about the Bible, this is what I'm talking about, that God is the author, that it's divine. And so that means when we're reading Proverbs, which is one of the books of wisdom, God gave every word of that. The book of Proverbs is what God wants us to know, how to live the best life possible. How to live the way he wants us to live. And as I started, this is how we started this class, when we had Monica read James 3:17. God is the source of wisdom. If you want wisdom, God says, just ask for it. I give as much as you want. In fact, sitting here right now, you have as much wisdom as you ask for. God will give you as much as you want. Wow. Now, if I said money, everyone would jump up and down. If I said he'll give you as much money, because we value money. Do you know what God says we should value? And we should ask for it. For everything. Wisdom for the future. Wisdom for how to respond today. Wisdom for planning. And God is the source of true wisdom. And that's what he describes. Now, the book of Proverbs, the title in the Hebrew Bible is, actually in the Hebrew Bible, the beginning of Proverbs is the Proverbs of Solomon. That's what the first translation of the Bible, and I know that you study this in a class, but the Bible was written in Hebrew first, mostly Hebrew, and then it was translated into Greek. That's called the Septuagint. Septuagint, which is the Roman numerals. This is Roman numeral 50 plus 10 plus 10. That's what L is, 50 in Latin numbering, Roman, like Roman world of the Bible. X is 10 and X is 10. So this phrase means 70. And what happened is 70 scholars in the second century BC translated the Bible from Hebrew to Greek. Why does that even matter? Because that's the Bible Jesus taught from. Do you understand that? Primarily, Jesus did not teach from the Hebrew Bible. Jesus taught from the translation of the Greek Bible. So that's why it's so important. The title comes from the Septuagint. And the author primarily is Solomon, but Hezekiah assembled some. There's a lot for you to read if you have a study Bible. The background is, if you look in Proverbs 4, this is how Solomon postures this. David and Bathsheba are sitting talking to their son Solomon, and he shares what he learned with his son, Rehoboam. That's actually what Proverbs 4 says, that Solomon shares with his son what his parents shared with him. Isn't that interesting? This three-generational, and you see it all the way through. When you're reading Proverbs, you'll see him say, my son. Who is it? It's Solomon talking to his son, Rehoboam. But he's saying, learn what my father taught me. And so this three-generational view of the book, and the theological themes are what we're going to discuss. And here's the beginning of them. Basically, Proverbs tells us what God promises us. And Proverbs over and over says, the wise, that's those who are righteous and obey God. So wise means obey God. So wisdom, my poor pens. Wisdom is tied to obedience. If you're wise, you'll do what God says, basically. But if you do that, God promises that wise people generally live longer. Did you know I will probably live longer than my little friend, the cocaine addict, wouldn't you think? Because he probably graduated from cocaine to heroin, and he probably got some awful disease like hepatitis and ruined his liver and died. because he's not wise, because God says drugs are not wise. Alcohol, drunkenness is not wise. Immorality is not wise. The wise people prosper. Now, think about this. On a level playing field where there's no advantages, Christians always do better than unsaved people. Why? Because God is in us. I have boldness, I have confidence, I have joy, I have emotional strength, I have wisdom from God. I will always do better than a lost person if everything is equal, because I have an edge. I know God. So generally, we live longer, we prosper, we experience joy. Why? Where does joy come from? The Bible says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Say it louder.
Joy.
Where does joy come from?
God.
Yeah. So unsaved people don't have joy. They have fleeting happiness now and then, but true joy comes from God. It's like when you have to update your phone, get the new software. God is the only one that downloads joy. When we connect to him, you have to download it. But the wise, those who obey God, experience joy. The wise experience the goodness of God temporally. That means that God gives them in life. It's like we enjoy things more than everyone else because we know God. The fool, though, suffer shame and death, the book of Proverbs says. But you know what Psalm 73 says? Sometimes you see a wicked person and it looks like they're living a long time, they're prospering, they look happy, you know, kind of like the rich and famous. You all heard of the Canadian singer Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
And you know, he's recently said that he's become what? A Christian. And you know what he's saying that's very interesting? He's only 20. He's your age. He's 20-some. Do you know what he said? He lived like the devil. I mean, he used to be drugging. He would get arrested when his little plane would land in Germany because they don't allow you to take any drugs, even in private airplanes. He would be down in South America, drunk, and people would be taking pictures of him because he would go to the prostitution houses and he'd get so drunk that they'd take pictures of him down there and post them. He said, you know what? That whole time that I was living that way was foolish. And he said, it's shameful, and what I was doing was leading to death. Now, I don't know if he got saved, but he's saying the right things. Now, have you noticed the other one? The other rapper that's talking about the Lord?
Kanye.
Yeah. And you know, he said, October 29th, that he'll never perform that kind of murder, four-letter word, expletive-laced, violent rap music again. Now, he might. But that's saying the right thing. Because do you know what? If he's wise, God says, you don't rap saying those kind of words, implying murder, implying violence, implying killing, implying rebellion against authority. So I think those are two very interesting things. Now I'd like to see Taylor Swift get saved. You know, and you know, who's that other one that used to be in the Disney movies? Hannah Montana. Yeah, I first understood who she was when she was a sweet, smiling Disney girl. She became now what she is. Those would be nice to get saved. But fools suffer shame, although Proverbs 73 says sometimes unsaved people appear to have a good life. Okay, basically Proverbs has 915 verses. But within those, there are over 140 topics. Let me just show you some of them. These are just some. This is how I took a picture out of the back of my Bible, the index of my Bible, my topical Bible. I have 6 pages of these. That's how many topics there are in Proverbs. How to be a father, how to counsel others, the dangers of violence, how to relate to your neighbor, how to have joy, God's judgment, how to give, God's providence, how to be humble, how to reverence God, how to get ready for death and dying, anger, justice, injustice. Do you see all those topics? When you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to be exposed to God's wisdom on 140 different topics. Now, here is what we're going to study this week. God wants to make me wise, not foolish. That's God's goal. That's why you're in this class. Did you wonder why I came all the way from America to talk to you? Because God wants you wise, not foolish. And God defines. See, we have wisdom because God says this is what wisdom looks like. This is what being wise looks like. And this is what foolishness looks like. The definition of those things is not what I think or what my friends think. God defines what wisdom is and foolishness. God wants me to be teachable. That means listening to Him, responding. That's why I'm giving you the course to do 10 chapters. When you read Proverbs, say, Lord, I want to be wise, not foolish. I want to be teachable, not stubborn. I want to be righteous. What is righteous? Lining up with what God says. If God says, this is what I want you to be, this pattern, we line up with it and say, okay, 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 okay. See how I lined up. I line up with it. I say, I want to be, this is what God says, and this is me. And I want to line up with God. That's what His word tells us we should be. Righteous, not wicked. Humble, not proud. Now you have a real danger. Social media breeds pride. Have you ever been on Instagram and seen these people showing off everything? They show off their clothes, they show off their looks, they show off their cars. God says, I want you to be humble, not proud. I want you to be self-controlled, not rash. Now, how many of you non-English speakers understand the word rash? You know what rash means? Zephaniah, do you know that word? Rash? How about you, Raul? Rash is when you say something without thinking about it. Like King Saul was rash. When his son Jonathan dipped his spear in the honeycomb and ate some of it, Saul said, kill him. That was a rash. That was foolish. That was dumb. That's what rash means. It means not thinking about what you're doing. So God wants me to think about what I'm doing and not be rash. And God wants me forgiving, not vindictive. And we're going to study each one of those one at a time. Also, Proverbs tells us what God's will is in five areas in our relationship to our parents, what God's will is in five areas in our relationship to our husband or wife, God's will in nine areas to children when we're parents, and God's will in seven areas to our friends and neighbors. Actually, Proverbs gives these areas that if you're a good parent, you'll have this. If you're a good partner in marriage, you'll be like this. If you're good at giving your children guidance, you'll do this. And if you're a good friend, in fact, this is how you know what a real friendship is. God defines real friendship. We'll go through each one of those. God also has a will for how I talk. That's the third major part of Proverbs. God wants me to understand the power of my words. He says in Proverbs, your words can build someone up or destroy them. Have you ever had someone share something that destroyed someone? It's called gossip, or it's called slander in English. God wants me to know the limitations of my words. There's some things that our words can't do. We have to have actions. That's why in English we say action speaks louder than what? Words. There are some things, there's a limit to words. Someone can say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but their actions are not meeting up with their words. So sometimes we have to show that we're sorry rather than just say it. And we'll talk about that in Proverbs. God has a plan for the character of my words, what they look like, what they sound like. And then God wants me to know what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. The book of Proverbs says, the words. If you see someone saying bad words, like Kanye West, you know what it's coming from? A bad heart. That's what the whole book of James is about. The mouth is like a faucet. When you turn the faucet on, the water that comes out shows what's down in the pipes. When you open your mouth, it shows what's in our heart. That's why people can say horrible things and then say, I really didn't mean it. But you back up if you're wise and you say, out of the fullness of your heart, you just said that. So you need a heart change to change the way you talk. So that is more of what we will talk about. In God's character that he's revealed, God wants me, my character is how my life points. In other words, character is what direction I'm going. That's my character determines my direction. And I see that I need to direct the cord into my computer or you'll have a short class. There we go. Sorry, it's thinking. There we go. Number one, God wants me to fear him. Okay, who's my next reader? Where'd we leave off? Oh, Jew. Yes. Could you look up Proverbs 9:10 and in just a moment read it to us? And then I need Jess, if you could read Proverbs 3:5. You get the easy one. Everyone loves that verse, okay? Now, here is how God wants my life to point to him. Do you remember how I told you about Joseph and Potiphar's wife? That is an example of my life pointing to him by fearing him. Okay, Jew, what does 9:10 say? Proverbs 9:10. That is beautiful. Can all of you, I can't read any Korean and you can read English. Are you from Korea? Can you believe that? We got lost several times driving over here because I can't read any signs and Google Maps doesn't work in Jeju. Did you know that? And you can read English. I'm proud of you. But what did that verse say? Read it again. You did so well. The knowledge of the Holy One. Fearing God, that verse says, is to be like Joseph, knowing God sees me. So when Potiphar's wife is pulling Joseph's shirt off of him, he said, you can't do that. I will not let you do that because God is watching. Did you know, when young people are looking at things they shouldn't look at on their phones, and they're like this. If I'm like this, looking at something I shouldn't look at, I'm okay. But if you start walking around, see, when I go to different coffee shops, people are sitting, you know, with their back to the corner, and no one can see what they're watching. But if you move into the chair next to them, they go, and look, see, they've turned their phone. They don't want you to see what they're watching if they know it's wrong. As a Christian, if I fear God, I watch like this. I say, here, God, everybody can see what I'm watching. Because I know you're watching, and I'm only going to watch what pleases you. That's what Jew read. Thank you. That's the best lesson of Proverbs, and Jew gave it to us by reading. Okay, next is Jess, and she's going to read 3:5.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding.
It's hard to read it without 6, isn't it? Do you mind hitting 6, too? It's so good. It's connected.
In all your ways, acknowledge
See, six is actually here. Acknowledging God is fearing him, but trusting him is the first part. Thanks for reading that, Jess. When our eight children were little, do you know what all of them used to love to do? I would pick them up like this, and I'd lift them up, and I'd go like this, and their little legs would be right here, and they would sit on my shoulders. And at first, they were afraid. In fact, that's how I lost my hair. They used to go, can I touch your hair for 1 second? They would go like this. They would hold, I'm sorry, I messed it up. They would hold my hair like it was the mane on a horse or the reins on a horse or something. And they would just, and it loosened all my hair and it started falling out because I had so many children. But after a while, you know what they learned? Dad will not drop them. All of them, we have pictures of them. They would fall asleep sitting on my shoulders with their head face down on top of me like this. Totally not holding on. Why? What do you call that? Do you trust the Lord that much? That he's holding you? It's not how hard you're... The Christian life is not me holding tighter the Lord. It's me trusting that he's got his arms around me. And with each of my children, I could feel in their body how much they trusted me. Because when they didn't, their little legs were choking me. They were like this, you know, their legs were around my neck. They were pulling my hair. Their whole body was tense like this. And all of a sudden I'd say, hey, Dad's holding you. I've got you. And basically what I did is I gave them the clamps, I called it. One leg was under this arm and one leg. They could have tipped over backward and I could have held them. Of course, I would grab them. But gradually, they trusted me. God wants me to trust him. God wants you to trust him. That's the character we have. Thirdly, now verse 6. Jess, you get to read it again because you're such an expert. It was coming. Thirdly, God wants me thinking of him. Now, Jess, read that again. Verse 6, just verse 6. See, if we think about the Lord, that's what acknowledging him. If we think about him, he directs our paths because he shows us his will written down in his word. And that's why we acknowledge him by giving him time. Number 4, God wants me choosing his way. That means that there are two paths. See, there's the path of wisdom and there's the path of foolishness. And God says every day, you come to a point where you have to choose which direction you're going to go. And God wants me choosing his way. That's what Proverbs 8 says. Fifthly, we need a reader to read. Let's see, who's Wendy. Wendy, could you read chapter 3, verse 11 for us, please, of Proverbs? Wow. Did you know that my children, they learned to fear mom and dad, not because we would hurt them, but because they would make us sad. Did you know that's the most powerful way to raise your children? Book of Proverbs, and we're going to study this, says that a wise person, you can lead them with your eyes. And what my kids would do is, They would start climbing on something, and then they'd look at me for a minute, and they'd go, and just see what I'd do, and I would go, and they would be like this, and I'd go, and they'd go, what did they just do? They didn't want to, but there was a higher power there. They knew I was dad, that was mom, and we went. And that's what it means to guide you with your eyes. You look at your parents or you look at the Lord, and the Lord writes down this word, and you go, okay, I submit. See, that's our character that God wants us to have. That's what Proverbs says is the way God wants us to live. If we continued reading, and if I had you keep reading, do you know what else it says? It says, don't be like the horse and the ox who have to have all kinds of straps put on. You know, a horse, we used to raise horses when I was little. You have to put this bridle on them, and they have this bit in their mouth. And what it does is, if they're a really bad horse, there is a bit. It's the clamping bit. It has two parts, and their tongue is through it. And if they're bad, you pull the reins and it squashes their tongue. Boy, do they stop quickly with that. That's how you train a horse, with a double bit. And then he gets only a single bit. And then pretty soon, if you have a good horse, you can just have the bridle on. In fact, some people don't even have that. If you see the some of the people that ride horses, they just ride them with nothing. None of the reins, even a saddle, but the horse completely, what? Submits to them. It's a very neat thing to be riding a horse that is completely in tune with you. And God says, be like one of those horses, not like one where you've got to have a double bit and God's always going, and it's squashing your tongue. God says, submit to me. That's wise character. And then here's the last thing about our character. God wants me confessing my sins to him. I need another verse by Dave. No, Caleb. Caleb. And it's Proverbs 28:13. And then I'm going to explain it. So, Caleb, can you do that for us? Good, thank you. Conceal versus confession. The word confess in Greek is the Greek word homologeo. Now that's in English, but most people don't read Greek, so I just put it in English. Homo means the same, and logeo means to say. Confession, true confession, is to say the same thing about my sin that God says, to agree with him about my sin. And so that's what Caleb just read. Whoever conceals his sin, tries to hide it from God, is foolish, because God sees everything. But whoever confesses his sin is wise. And what is confession? I say the same thing about what I did that God says, that it's wrong, that it's against his will, it's against his character, it displeases him. So that's the wisdom that God has given. And by the way, that just finishes hour one. Can you believe it? But I'm going to go much faster into hour two. So let me just get rid of this and let me get to hour two and not that. Take a big breath. Let me find hour two. There it is. Boom. Hour two, class two. What does it mean to have the best life possible? Look where we've gotten to. We're in the second of the 10 hours. God gave the guide to wisdom. It's right here in Proverbs. 915 verses, over 140 lessons, topics that God covers. That's his guide for living his way. Wisdom, basically in Proverbs, wisdom means living God's way. God's, I should spell it out, God's way. Because every day I have two choices, my way, God's way. My way, God's way. I used to be a youth pastor. I worked with people younger than you. For years as a youth pastor, I used to teach him a little song. Only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And they would go through, my youth group would go, and they had a cadence. They'd go, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. because they wanted to keep that on their mind, that wisdom is choosing God's way instead of my way. So that's what we're going to look at. And then soon, Solomon and onward we go. By the way, Bonnie and I are now missionaries. That's our prayer card. And any of you collect missionaries that you pray for, if you send me an email and say you want our prayer card, I'll send it to you and you can add it to your prayer list, because this is what we do all over the world. Half of our time teaching students like you. The other, you're the next generation. That's what we call you, the next generation. The other half of our time, we teach the people who are already missionaries. And most of them are worn out. They have served the Lord, many of them in very, very difficult places. And we go alongside of them and encourage them, counsel them. Many of them are raising children and are struggling. Many of them, their marriages are challenged. Because when you're in the ministry, Satan tries everything he can to ruin your ministry. And so some of them have marriage problems, some of them have family problems. Most of them are just worn out. And we come alongside them and encourage them. So that's what we do full time. And we work basically across Asia and Europe and Africa, although we go other places, and I'll tell you stories about those. But if you want a prayer card, we would love your prayers. God has given the guide to wisdom. That's the first verse that we looked at. Right here in Proverbs, this is the guide to wisdom. God has told us, and I've shown you so many verses, this one, 4:18, the two roads of life. God has shown us his will. And wise living is how God describes his will for us. He says, I want you to live wisely, to live my way. So whenever you hear me say this word, wisdom or wise, the context is living God's way. Okay, that's something you have to write down. That's on the quiz, okay? Ellen, see, if Ellen gets it, you all got it, right? That wisdom or being wise is living God's way. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about. The other thing Ellen wrote down is, how long does it take to read the whole Bible?
72 hours.
Okay, so now, you have two of the five questions on the quiz right, okay? So the first question is, don't look at the board. What is wisdom or being wise without peeking? Okay, and how long does it take to get all of God's wisdom he wrote down?
72 hours.
Because the wisdom you need is what he wrote down, and it's in the Bible. So see, you're an A student, you've got both of them. I saw you write them down, so everybody has them now. Okay, basically, last hour, God wants to make me wise, that's going his way, not foolish, which is going my way. Secondly, God wants me to be teachable, not stubborn. What do I mean by that? Okay, we need another reader. Proverbs 18:15. Let's see, next to Caleb is Dave. Dave, could you look up for us Proverbs 18:15, and then I need Selena. You're out of your chair. I'm proud of you. In every one of my classes, people stand up so that you stand up because probably you like the exercise. I used to have students stand up because they fell asleep if they sat down. But Selena is going to read Proverbs 10:14 in just a minute. So first of all, Dave, could you read 18:15? So what the Lord is saying is that a tender heart, a soft heart, a responsive heart is one that receive and love instruction. Now there's a difference between just receiving it, that means hearing it, and loving it. You know, when I go through the meal line with my little tray, I can receive kimchi, but it doesn't mean I love it, right? If I love it, what do? I mean, I can't get enough. And I say, can I have more? Can I have more? That's what the Lord's looking for. think of your Bible reading as your tray. And you come to God and say, put it on. I want to eat. Could I have more? See, that's what the Lord says. A teachable person is someone that wants to receive and love instruction. Now, God wants to make me teachable, not stubborn, because God says wise people are always seeking to grow in wisdom. I want to grow in living God's way. Now, that's where the church, the local church, is so important. Do you understand what church is supposed to be about? When you go to church, when you gather, people are supposed to say, Zephaniah, how are you doing? Where are you reading in the Bible? What verse are you memorizing? I'm still praying about what you shared with me, you know, about that person that you're trying to win to the Lord. How are you doing at sharing the gospel with them? That's what church is about. It's helping us grow in going God's way. Do you have someone in your life that knows you well enough that says, how are you doing? And they know what area of your life God is working on. See, that's what we need. That's called accountability. And that's wisdom. Okay, so 10:14, Selena.
The wise layeth knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin to
him. Lays up knowledge. You understand that? A wise person has their tray, and they're going through the line, they're saying, have you ever seen the boys go through the food line? They don't take one scoop. They're, and the cook is saying, in years past, they go, hey, only one helping, you know, we can't all take it all yet. Come back for seconds. Who are you looking at there, Sophia? See, the wise are like Caleb. They pile on the food. Only it's the food of God's word. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live what? But by? Oh, every word. How many of you have read every word of God? Four of you have. That's the whole Bible. Come on, raise your hand. How many of you have not yet read every word of God? You know, you should make it your life's goal. There's only 72 hours needed. You know how much time that is? 15 minutes a day. Less than 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes. How much time do we waste? I mean, I remember some students, I mean, they just sit and just are looking off in the distance because they can't get started doing their homework, and they're just looking off in the distance. And I'll walk by, and 5 minutes later, they're still sitting there looking off in the distance. I thought, why don't you just read for 5 minutes, you know? That'll get your mind going. Just read. You can break up your Bible reading that you only read 5 minutes at a time. And just get a Bible reading plan. And I have one on my Bible. I mean, on my phone. And it tells me exactly where I'm supposed to read every day. I read with Bonnie. And if we're sitting on an airplane, we read for 10 minutes, we put it down. And if we're sitting somewhere else, you don't have to read all 15 minutes together. But what it is you want to be like Caleb and pile it up. Okay? Think of that when you're reading the Bible, okay? Okay, secondly, God not only wants to make me teachable, he wants to make me righteous. Do you remember I showed you this is God's pattern and I want to line up with it? That's what righteousness is, lining up God and me. What does that look like in Proverbs? Well, God says that wise people fear the Lord. So 14:16, now we've come to Cody. Not only can he pray well, he can read well. He's going to read 14:16. And then Zoe, where is, oh. Can you read and run the camera and do everything? You can? You can do it all from back there? So Zoe is going to read 13:5. So you have Proverbs right here, 13:5. And then I need a 3:7. Naomi, this is you. Right there, 3:7. And then, Sam, I need you, 2:20. And then, Michael, The least Singaporean looking. I watch the rich Asians, and you don't look like a rich Asian. But I will believe you that you're from Singapore. And 22:21, Michael gets, okay? So you're not like the rich Asians, right? Because they were unrighteous. They were. It was on an airplane. And, you know, on an airplane, they just play it, and everybody sees it, you know? And I thought, my goodness, what a movie. God says wise people fear the Lord. So I was on Cody. 14:16.
One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless.
Now that is a great verse. Did you catch how good that verse is? A wise person sees evil and they're cautious. They don't want to get too close to it. An unrighteous person goes right toward it, like falling off the cliff, like going into sin. God says wise people fear the Lord. They don't want to do something that God goes. They know what God says is wrong, and they wisely avoid it. Avoid it. A lot of people fall into sin because they go into the place where they're tempted. A wise person avoids the places where they're tempted, okay? Secondly, God says wise people hate what is false. 13:5. Zoe.
The righteous has full food, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace.
So the righteous hates what's false. A falsehood is something that's a lie, that's fake news. Any of you Americans, that's all we hear about. Fake news. We hate what is false. How do we know what's true? See, everybody else is afflicted with fake news. I have pure truth right here. You understand that? This is inspired by God. In a world of fake news, I have pure truth. Wow. It's really good. And a lot of people are all concerned nowadays. They say, well, you can't know if anything's true. I come up to them confidently and say, I do. And they go, how do you know? I say, In fact, I'm posting on YouTube. No, this morning at 3 a.m., YouTube posted for me the book that's not from this world. That's my lesson today on the Bible. It's a book not from this world. It's from God. That's what the Bible is. And that's what we need to see. That we hate what is false because we know what is true. Okay, next is Naomi, and you're reading 3:7.
Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Turn away. Here, I'll tell you a quick story. Oh, the bell's going to ring, but I'll tell it to you anyway. I had two of my boys. I was holding their hands, and we were walking through outlets. Outlets are like all these little stores that sell stuff. And my one son was going like this. He was dragging his feet, and it was like I was pulling him along. And I said, what are you doing? And he was walking like this with his hand over his face like this. I said, what are you doing? And he went, we were walking by the Victoria's Secret outlet. And there was about a 30-foot-high woman in her underwear. And he had read in our Proverbs reading not to look at the immoral woman. And so he was not looking, and he was dragging along. And here I was going, con! And all of a sudden I went, you are shunning evil. People ought to see that in your life. That you look away from evil, not toward it. Have a good break. See you soon.